Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Boy, oh boy, we've bloody done it. The Backchat Ale is back. Brewed for Backman. Shelter, Backchat, Shelter Footycast. We're back in business. 10% off online right now if you use Backchat Ale at shelterbrewing.com.au. That's right. We're going to give you some of the best beers known to man. And we've got merch too. So get on over there right now, shelterbrewing.com.au. You can just click through the links. You'll find your way there. And another little special for you. For the 51st orders, we're going to give a massive WA footy prize away to one lucky winner. Whether you're a West Coast fan, a Frio fan, you're going to bloody love that. So these will go. Don't worry about this. They're limited edition, just like the first time around. If you don't get them, you'll never get them. We're going to do this at the live preview show of the Derby. Mark Reddings, myself, Matt Pavlich and Josh Kennedy will be there. But this is your first chance to buy these beers. And I'm telling you right now, they're not going to last because we know Backman just get it bloody done, right? And Backman, this is brewed for you on your bike. Let's go. Shelterbrewing.com.au. We are live. Holy moly, boy. Let's go. Well, we made it, Skeeter. Shelter Footycast live from Backchat Studios, fresh off Gather Round. Skeet's been working back here in Perth while we've been working over in Adelaide. Hello, Skeeter. How are you?
Hello, Scoey. You've been on your footy bender, footy feast over there, just enjoying the sights and sounds of the City of Churches, if we can call it that. Big weekend, lots to talk about, and WA's one of WA's clubs certainly featuring in one of the more eventful matches of the round.
Absolutely. We were at that one, Skeeter. So make sure you're following us on social, Shelter Footycast on Instagram. Send us an email if you want to, footycast at backchatstudios.com.au. And remember, Skeet and I have next Thursday on the 18th of April our Backchat Ale release. That's right. The Backchat Ale is back, brewed for Backman. We'll be doing a Derby preview. Can confirm the guests, Skeeter.
Yes.
Josh Kennedy, West Coast Eagles, greatest ever goal kicker. And I'm going to match him up with Fremantle Dockers, greatest ever goal kicker. Matthew Pavlich will join us live at the Leederville Hotel. So if you want to come down and watch Skeet and I get through a couple of beers while trying to have some action, Skeet may actually be off the beers.
I am off the beers.
So there we go. Skeet and I will be there. Make sure you get your tickets. You can grab them in our link on Instagram or just head to backchatstudios.com.au and head to the shop there, Skeet. $20 will get you a Backchat Ale and entry on the night.
Beautiful. Big weekend. Derby, look, it's going to be one of those strange ones where Fremantle on the move, West Coast, just trying to hold ground. And still, it's massive game in WA sports, so let's hope we get a cracking crowd to the Leederville Hotel.
Skate with Gather Round in the bin now. I just thought we'd start the show on, there's been a bit of a concept put through that maybe Gather Round will be rotated. There won't be at Adelaide Oval or Adelaide in general forever. I've seen some concepts where maybe there's more than one Gather Round a year, maybe when Tasmania comes into it. Having not been over there, Skeet, but you've watched all the footy, do you like the concept? Should it stay in Adelaide or should we give everyone else a turn?
No, I think it's a bit like if you've got the Grand Prix, Melbourne took it away from Adelaide. Oh, I don't have any issue with it being in Adelaide for the foreseeable future. Whether it moves at some stage, but they've created their niche, they've won the bid. Look, my understanding was that when the initial bidding took place, South Australia was given that Gather Round because they'd missed out in part on the grand final in 2021,
right,
with the match being played at Optus Stadium. So off the back of that, they were given Gather Round. The AFL's priority after that was to go to New South Wales as their next destination, which I think might have ruffled a few feathers in WA. And so there might have been an issue where they said, well, you know, we're not going to play second fiddle to New South Wales, given we're a footy state and we did such a great job with the AFL Grand Final. So I don't know if WA, and don't get me wrong, I think we'd love to get a piece of the action. But personally, even though there's no footy here, no footy in Victoria, I think South Australia, what's wrong with them having their weekend of footy?
Well, I was hoping you were going to say Western Australia should get it, Skeet, and I could come against you because I just don't think it works in any other state. Having been there over the weekend, it's brilliant. The Adelaide Oval especially, they've got the entire Adelaide City is 200 metres away. Now, you could say maybe Perth's like that, but you'd have to walk all the way across the bridge from Optus Stadium, all the way through East Perth. I'm telling you, 200 metre walk, and everyone goes from the footy straight into the city. It just works. Yep. And after experiencing it, I would say leave it there forever. Like, there's no reason to give everyone else a go. It's a perfect concept for Adelaide. And I just thought it was a great weekend, great atmosphere, and I don't think, one, it wouldn't work in Sydney. Everything's too far away. No one's getting their job done.
And venues. Yeah, the issues with the venues getting
promoted. Honestly, I think you could play it anywhere. They were shipping in big stands into all the grounds out there. I think the grounds would be less of an issue, and it's more the, you know, everything else apart from the games, because that's what it's actually about. Yes, you can play footy and go to the footy, but the atmosphere and the general feeling of the public. So I think leave it at Adelaide forever. Now, Skeet, there's a couple of bigger other issues in the footy realm. Jeremy Finlayson and his slurs on Thursday night, Friday night in the Port Adelaide game. He's been dealt with and fined. How do you sit with...
What was his fine? I haven't even looked at it because there's been a bit of other footy news floating around that sort of captured my attention. But we know that Alistair Clarkson received, I think, a $20,000 sanction. That might have been as a result in part of what he'd done previously off the field and some of his actions. With Finlayson, he's obviously remorseful, but does it sit in the same sphere as, say, racial slurs?
Well, I think it does.
Most likely it does.
I think it does. And I thought his apology was strange. It looked like Port Adelaide had tried to distance themselves for him. Nick, if you could find the fine for us, please, mate. It looked like Port Adelaide had chucked him out in the park. No Port Adelaide branding on, and sort of just said, hey, mate, go and apologise. And it was, I don't think it was insincere. It was certainly unintelligent. It felt a little dumb, to be honest, and he was talking about heat of the battle, and he was talking about, oh, you know, we want to stamp it out of the game, and then he'd moved on. It was just, I think they missed a lot of marks in that, and I'm not going to comment on homophobia or racial slurs or anything like that, but clearly he's done the wrong thing. Where's the fine sit? I don't know. People have called for potentially a suspension. Yeah, I don't know if I have a strong opinion either way, but I just felt like the overall handling of it was a bit strange.
No fine yet.
No fine yet. Okay, so I mean that's bizarre to me, but
that'll come out in the next probably 24 hours.
Well, if Alistair Clarkson walks out and get a $20,000 fine for doing what he did, there is absolutely no difference to what Jeremy Finlayson's done. So,
The difference, I think, as I said before, was that Clarko had a rap sheet which was quite extensive. So I think you just need to bear in mind his penalty, I think, was in part exacerbated by what he'd done previously. Whether he gets a $20,000 fine, well, that'd be quite significant.
Maybe that's a poor precedent then. Taylor Walker in a similar...
Racial.
Right, that was racial, with no real rap sheet. He was suspended.
6 weeks, I think it was.
Right, so what's the difference?
No, I'm not strong on it either way as to what punishment he gets, whether it's a fine, whether it's a... I mean, his embarrassment and the public, I guess, humiliation having to go through this is going to be significant. So, look, again, it seems to come up every 2 or 3 weeks, and until that's stopped, then we'll keep talking about it.
Seems to be a bit of a round for dissent. Let's talk about this one, Skeeter. This is leading the front page of the paper.
Posters.
We've got Jordan Clark posters coming out. We were at this game and I had no idea what had happened. It was a great game to watch. Like, it was a really good game of footy. A big Carlton contingent around us on the hill, Skeet, and we were giving it to them and it was good fun. So there was a few Shelter Footycast fans on the hill with us there that were enjoying some of our work, some of the opposition. Oh, it was a really great atmosphere. What has gone on here? Can you just break it down a little bit? Because with a minute to go, Carlton kick a goal, and it looks like there's going to be a centre bounce with a minute left, and whoever wins that centre bounce is going to have an opportunity to win the game. Umpire whistle goes, another free kick to Carlton.
Yeah, but even go back to the initial opportunity Carlton received when Hewitt, after Jackson from a stoppage, taps the ball into open space. Again, this is something that Lee Spur was on radio with me at the time. He said at the moment, what is he doing tapping it into an area that's going to be a bit of a brain fade, irrespective. Hewitt kicks, marked by Cottrell, and immediately the ball hit his chest. You could tell the Dockers players were adamant it had been touched on the way through. And as it turns out, it was the arm, the shoulder, call it what you want, for James Ace. So that, now what I was told yesterday, go on.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, so clearly it was touched, right? And we've seen Roy Kane come out and
clearly it was touched, right? But yeah, but at that time, I think the umpires, I'm going to give them a bit of latitude here. That wasn't like a touched hand. It was off the shoulder. So it was a bit of an unusual deviation.
The reason that Freo players could see it, when you're in line with the footy, you can see when it's kicked. As players, that's what you're trying to do, is read where the footy goes. So when it gets kicked one way and then it deflects, it's very obvious. But if you're not in line with the footy, the umpires are on the side, the peripherals, you can't see that deviation. Imagine sort of standing on the side of the goals and it skims the post. You can't really see. But if you're up and down the ground, you can see it change direction. So that's why the umpire hasn't called it. And, mate, this sort of stuff would happen. It's happened with a minute to go in a game. But this stuff would happen a little bit more regularly than we think.
My problem with this is, and having spoken to Hammer yesterday just about the pros and cons of it, there's a suggestion that the umpire closest to Hewitt, who kicked the ball, initially called touched play on. Then it went, obviously, 20 metres further afield, and the nearest umpire to where the mark was taken, or the grab was taken, paid it a mark.
Do we know about this touch play on call?
This is what Hammer's telling me yesterday. That this is what the one umpire reportedly has given an indication. Now, there should be audio of this if it's the case.
That's what I mean.
That it was touched off the boot, but the other umpire has called it a mark. Now, why the umpire, if this was the case, if he initially called touch play on, why he then didn't run over to where Cottrell was and say, no, this was touched, let's ball it up.
A mark doesn't override touched. You know, if an umpire's seen touched, it's touched.
Yes. So that's why when Hammer said to me, I went, wow, that's extraordinary if that's the case. But surely there has to be some audio.
Andy Brayshaw went and tackled Cottrell, you know, and he came from the stoppage and tackled him. So he knew it was touched. All the Dockers knew it was touched, right? It doesn't get called though, Skeet.
No.
Right, we can talk about the audio and we can talk about, but it doesn't get called. So in the history of the game, if the umpires don't communicate, like you've said they haven't, they don't change their mind.
No.
Like that's the decision that
was made.
That's
one they could have. If that's the case, that's one where the umpire who initially balled it up would have been the right call. So
But they didn't.
No, they didn't. So that would mean, and I've been quite defensive of the umpires on this one, because as you said, it's such a difficult one if you're on the side to make that call. And you can go down the captain's challenges and all that, and you might like that, but I just don't think it's got much legs long term in the AFL. But I think I was defensive of the umpires, but if that version of events is true, where one umpire has called it touched and the other one has called it a mark, which for some reason hasn't been nullified, then that's where there has to be more questions asked.
I would be defensive on that decision, even if that stuff happens. You know, communication, you know, especially if there's young umpires, like, I think it's a difficult thing to call, especially with not long left in the game. I won't defend, however, the call for dissent. Now, unless I'm wrong and there's something extra added to this dissent, and I say this in inverted commas, from Jordan Clark, if all he has done is called him an effing idiot, right? And so Freo have come out, or at least we've seen reports that he said, "F an idiot, Jordan," right?
Which seems highly implausible.
Look, every defender in the world knows exactly what he's done. He's gone, "F an idiot, you're an F an idiot." If you can't cop that as an umpire with a minute to go in the game, and I know that we need integrity, and I know that we can't go, well, if there's a minute left compared to a minute in, can't be making the incorrect decisions. I think you can. You have to have a sense of the game. And if you boys have just stuffed it up, right, and you've been called an effing idiot, fair enough, dissent. Can you just swallow it for 2 seconds and then talk about it after the game or something? What's the need to blow the whistle, goal, game over? We talk about it all week now. we wouldn't talk about it one iota because no one else heard it other than that umpire. No one would have known. And then where are we? You know, maybe we get a centre bounce and maybe Carlton get that centre bounce, kick another goal. But at least it's not influenced by an umpiring decision. Not the touched, I'll defend that. But the dissent, I mean, spare me, Skeeter.
I'm just trying to work out. And look, I don't disagree with you, but Jordan Clark was almost physically taken away from the umpire. So you could tell he was...
After he blew his whistle.
Body language, though, said to me that he'd lost his way with what he said. Now, if that's all he said, then yeah,
I know people will listen to me now and say, how can you defend a player doing that? With a minute to go in the game and you've dropped an effing idiot, if you can't cop that as an umpire, I mean, seriously, Skeeter, unless there's something more. Like, if I called you that, right, we had six beers together, right, and you said something, and I said, Skeet, you're an effing idiot. What are you going to do, walk out of the pub or not?
No, I cop that from you regularly. But it's more, but if he called him, if he had, which he didn't, if he said, you're an effing cheat,
yeah,
are you still happy with that?
I guess we could sit here debate it. To me,
has got a really serious connotation if you say that. Well, yeah, it's a level.
I mean, if Jordan Clark heard, hey, touch play on, and then old mate goes, nah, Mark, and he's the guy that's overruled him,
I'm happy to wear the idiot slur, but if you're called an effing cheat as an umpire and you don't act on that, I don't know, Scully, I'm not sure I could...
If only the umpires were a microphone, Skeeter, hey? Tell you what, I reckon there's a little bit of the audio's been lost, has it? we'll release the audio.
Yeah, well,
can we release the audio?
That's what we're asking for.
Then you and I can stop talking like absolute effing idiots.
We don't know what's happened. Let us know. Fill us in. It's like the X-Files.
Scolder and Mully. Is that her name or Mully and Scolder?
She's a good looking.
All right. Here we are. Let's keep moving. Let's get into the footy. We'll keep with this game. Carlton, 73 defeat, 3-0-63. It was a brilliant game. I really enjoyed it. Brayshaw was outstanding. The Dockers were really good. And so, like, Carlton were good too. It was a back and forward game and contested. There were some highlights from mine. Brayshaw had 38. I thought Jeremy Sharp's game on the wing was, like, really good. And what a recruit that's looking like being. Ran all day, 29 disposals. I would have loved to have seen a centre bounce there with a minute to go, but you don't get it. And I think Freo have proven, right, you don't win it, but they have proven that what they're doing does stand up against good sides.
Defensively, again, they kept Carlton to, it says 73 points, but that's all in the last 60 seconds of the game. So they kept around 60 points, all things being equal, which is a very good result. The eye test, is when we were talking about it, I was commentating on radio, the eye test to me said that they deserved to win the game. Doesn't mean you win the game, but I thought they deserved to win the game given the work they had done. And you mentioned that the midfield, I thought, held up really well. The defence was outstanding.
They butchered a bit going inside 50.
They did. They butchered a bit. And look, we can, you know, this is taking the view of, you can blame everyone but yourself. Well, they had some opportunities. Now, I don't know whether Michael Walters, who kicked the goal to put them up by 9, did he use the 30 seconds allocated to him after there was a blood rule with Kemp going off? I'm not sure. I'm not saying he didn't. There was that. Tracy drops a mark. Was it a mark? Was it not? That was late in the game. Yeah. If that had been paid, again, that takes out another 30, 40 seconds simply because the ball's inside the 50.
But that's footy, isn't it?
No, it is. But that's what I'm saying. We're talking about mistakes. And Joy Amos misses a shot to ice the game, I think,
yes,
in the last 4 or 5 minutes. So they made a rod for their own back by not finishing off their good work. But if Carlton are considered contenders, and by the way, that's the first win they've had at the Adelaide Oval, and the first time since 1995 they've been 4-0, and 95 they won the flag.
Wow.
I was impressed by Carlton, but no more so than Fremantle. So off the back of that, I thought it was almost a finals-like intensity. I think that I'm not overawed by Carlton, what I saw there. In fact, I was a shade... I thought Fremantle more than held their own on that front. So I'd be pretty comfortable suggesting if Carlton's considered a premiership contender, I know the Victorian media will say, no, this is, won't even bring Fremantle now, like him into the eight, they'll say, because they've got Port Adelaide. I thought what I saw yesterday was, or Saturday, and also what Justin Lemieux said after the match, with regards to the controversy, I thought he said all the right things to try and not let the group get dishevelled and just waylaid by an incident which could affect them heading into the Port game.
His messaging this year, I think, on reflection, has been outstanding. They lost Cox and McDonald in the same game. They lost another one to concussion Warner. And he was just, you know, very calm. He's been very calm the whole, you know, probably his whole tenure, really. But if you're losing, that calmness looks like, I don't know, people will give us something. But he was very much, we've got Cattle coming in. I thought Draper held his own against a couple of good sides. How many Walker and Curnow kick on the day?
Well, Curnow kicked three.
Sorry, not Walker. How many Curnow and Mackay?
Mackay didn't kick a goal.
No. So he was, Pierce had him most of the day. And Curnow, they you know, had a couple of mismatches. He kicked one late, I know, but I thought Draper was, he didn't kick 10 goals, did he?
No, and he's a really good young player. Just whether in the last 3 or 4 minutes, it's easy to say, but whether Pierce or Ryan goes to Curnow, because he was the threat. But
yeah, but
it's,
then McKay bobs up, mate.
It's easy in hindsight. I get it.
Those sorts of things where you have a mark taken on you late in the game and you end up losing the game, that's where you learn. Look at West Coast. Not this game specifically, but, you know, down by 80 points and Curnow takes a mark with 2 minutes to go, you learn nothing. It's like, oh, here goes another mark. But Draper will never forget that. I almost guarantee it. I had a couple early in my career where something that you do, you know, affects the result of the game. That's where you really learn. So he's getting put in those positions every week because they're going well. And I really like the look of him. So Michael Frederick might have done a hammy. He left the game with an injury. So if he has Skeeter, that'll be 3 weeks. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. Lockie Fogarty for a week for that hit on Fife. For what it's worth, I thought that was nothing malicious. He came off the bench.
And, unfortunate, really.
Yeah, correct. So he got a week. I did like how Freo stuck up for him. But overall, a pretty good game for Freo, Skeet. I think you'd be happy if you're a Freo supporter. Sydney defeat West Coast 104-78 at Mount Barker. Look, gotta be honest, Skeet. I was very impressed with what West Coast put out there. I don't know how you saw the game, but I've been very critical, clearly, after 50, 60, 70 point losses, and especially on the Bulldogs game. I thought they looked brandless. I used the word hopeless. I'm happy to say, from what I saw from that game, if you see that more consistently, that's a brand of footy that you could get behind. High effort, defensive forcing turnovers on a good side who tried to take the game on. Yes, they lacked a bit of polish at times, West Coast, but it just looked like a hard-working brand of footy. And if that's what they want to put out every week and they lose by, can't even do the
26 maths,
points. 26 points. They do that every week. If they lost every game for the year playing like that, I think as a West Coast fan, you'd be very happy. We saw their best players play really well. Like the best four players were senior players, Yo, McGovern, Hunt, really good, Duggan. And their young players off the back of that were able to jump in. Harley Reid has 18 disposal and he looks very good. So, look, I think that's a really positive game for West Coast, but you've got to see it next week. It can't be a one-off.
No, but if they do produce it, I'll back you up with what you said. If they can produce that on a regular basis, they won't be losing by 26 points against other sides. They'll, in fact, be winning some matches, which I think there was a 5-minute passage or 3-minute passage, and they won a second quarter, by the way, which was terrific. They outscored Sydney, which is a real first for them.
I think that was their first quarter they'd won all
the whole year. Yeah, 53 inside 50s apiece.
Led halftime.
There's a lot of good improvement areas for them, and there was just a couple of passages of play, as you said, when Hunt, he streamed down the ground. They went through the middle. He kicked a goal. They backed it up with another entry. Petrocelli takes the mark. Yeah, it was just nice to see. So many positives for them. Look, they were beaten by 26 and they fell away a bit after half time. But again, if that sort of effort is displayed against, say, a Richmond this week, you'd think they're going to be highly competitive, if not winning that game.
Competitive is the key word, Skeeter. Mm. Like, they look competitive. And for mine, it was just the eye test. It looked like hard work for them. Like, it looked like they were working their ass off. And that's what it should look like. It's sort of a little bit of an indictment that you haven't seen that. You know, you haven't seen, like, wow, they're working hard. They're really working their ass off. Jeremy McGovern, that's one of the best games I've ever seen him play. And I don't say that lightly. Like, every contest he was in, he was unbelievable, right? A couple of highlights for West Coast. Harley Reid, 18 disposals, 7 broken tackles. Now,
well, that's in almost. I actually hadn't heard of this stat until the weekend.
So someone's gone very deep for this one. 8 is the most of all time.
Dusty and LDU.
Yeah, correct. So Harley Reid, 7. He leads the year with 11. Again, I don't know where these stats are coming from, but
the West probably.
Yeah, correct. You'd be very happy with his game. He probably gets the Rising Star this week, unless we've seen that announced anywhere.
Well, it just depends.
They'd be desperate to give it to him. I can guarantee that.
He'll get one somewhere. But whether somewhere, we'll get to the Gold Coast. But they've got a couple. There's a couple other players, young players that look. I think Harley's will get one at some point. Whether
Closey,
it's now,
is it Closey? Is
it? Yeah, Jed Walter, I think, was showed okay. a bit as well. So yeah.
So look, I think good. As I mentioned, their senior players well played well. Duggan had 30 and was impactful. Yeo had 28 and was impactful. McGovern 26, best on ground for West Coast. Bailey Williams played really well in the ruck, competitive. Tim Kelly looked good. Like, that's their top five guys. Now, Bailey Williams isn't a senior player, but he's their senior ruckman, right? And I just think we're not you don't want that to look like Reed, Jimby, Long at the top. You want your best players playing well. When they do, West Coast play well. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah. No, I think coming off, I thought it was a really disappointing 76-point loss. And bear in mind, it was 171 points last year,
yes,
albeit at the SCG. It just gives the whole club a bit of a spike.
That's hope. So that's what I was talking about with hopeless last week. You come out of that game against the Bulldogs, kick three goals, one after the quarter time, and you got no hope.
Yep.
And you're not looking forward to the future. Is anyone coming through the waffle, Skeeter?
Andrew Gaff's obviously getting a bit of it. Dom Sheed was scheduled to come back, just to check and see whether some numbers there. And great to see Jai Cully, who kicked a goal in that loss to South Fremantle in the waffle. So I wouldn't expect Cully to come back inside. In fact, I don't think unless
Sheed played 15 touches.
Unless Dom Sheed really banging the door down. Oh, you know, they're obviously going to have to replace Marek because of injury and Luke Edwards with a hamstring. So there'll be a couple of changes. But I think you've got to reward also players that have shown that improvement and, you know, being able to give us that hope factor which you talked about.
Zane True had 25 disposals and a goal, so maybe he has a look. They did lose by 88 points, though, Skating yes. the Waffle, so that's not overly positive. Sydney, just a quick roll over them. Errol Gordon is a superstar.
Three votes.
He was just outstanding. He had two goals and 28 disposals, 25 disposals, 2-2, by the way. Is Heaney
leading the Brownlow as we speak?
He is close. In the betting markets, but
okay.
I believe so. He's favourite. It was interesting. Taylor Adams came back into the side and played. He kicked a goal.
They're a bit off, though. Sydney, we've spruced them a fair bit. But
any side's going to be off if have some pressure put on you. And so Richmond last week, high-pressure game, right? West Coast this week, I saw the pressure gauge that Fox Footy love rolling out. Like, it was off the scale. High pressure. Like, any side's going to look poor under pressure. So I don't think they're going too badly, Skeeter, but I know you want to see them beaten sides
no,
like this
but
by
you're not going to win a flag in April, but if just ticking off those wins, the horse will be happy.
All right, let's whip through some of these, Skeet. This was on Thursday, this one. Melbourne defeat Adelaide 78-63. It feels like about 4 weeks
for you,
ago.
It would be like about 17 pubs ago, wouldn't it?
Oh, I did our work in one pub in particular, actually, so I didn't get through too many. But this one on the Thursday night, Crows now 0-4. Bye-bye. See you later season.
Done.
Which is terrible. You know, imagine being at that footy club. There's no way they come back from that, is there?
No, I don't think so. And look, they're competitive. But again, their last quarter, they kicked, two goals, six. The damage was done early, and they just haven't turned up to play in a lot of their matches this year in the first halves. And from a Melbourne perspective, Petrarca's been enormous.
29-1.
Love Fritsch, who comes back in, kick three.
Yes.
Pickett two. They've got a team that is, I think their midfield is still going to be very, very tough to beat.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Max Gawn's leading the way there. He had 40 hit-outs against Riley O'Brien, who's no slouch, right? So I thought Gawn was close to their best on ground, took some big contested marks. So if you've got him leading with Petrarca, Oliver firing, Viney goes through that, you know, Christian Salem's played a little bit up the ground as well. Like, they are going to be difficult to beat, but I don't know how you fix it at Adelaide. For mine, they look like they've gone away from their strengths, which is scoring. 63 points again. And they can't score. So that's the issue.
I wonder whether in pre-season, in training, they were concerned about their defensive side and they focused too much on that. And
well, they've kept Melbourne to 78.
Yeah, but by the same token, their one wood is their, correct, as you say, their attacking ability. And that seems to have just completely kicked, 34 against the Dockers and 63 here. They haven't been able to kick a score.
So they keep Melbourne to 74, Dockers to 69, a little bit of a blowout against Geelong and they went to 96. And then in round one, they kept Gold Coast to 60, right? So they're keeping sides to low scores, but they're not scoring themselves.
Mm.
So that tells me all you need to know. They're likely not scoring off turnover, which is a big issue. That's pretty much what the game's based around these days. So they need to improve in that area, Skate. Brisbane 112 defeated North Melbourne 42. Boy, oh boy, it's a bit ugly this one, Skeet. I'm surprised it didn't blow out to more, and it was a 70-point win.
32 scoring shots, and I watched some of this game. And Brisbane, I'm not going to say they're back by any stretch, because North Melbourne...
They're back!
they're North Melbourne, I know we've been very critical of the Eagles so far. They're a young side that's got a long, long way to go, just on the evidence of what we've seen. Getting towed up. I mean, look, Joey Danaher, 5, hit with 3. You'd expect those types of players to have a feast on a North Melbourne defence that's clearly undermanned.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? I think they've got a young and good midfield, North Melbourne, and they've got some clear talent in there that gives you hope as a footy club. But if you can't put the pressure on, then this back line, it's not good enough to stand up against anybody. So I think Clarkson would know that, and I think he'd be trying to come up with ways to score more, really, because he knows he's going to get scored against. So you're probably looking at shootouts. Does that develop players as you'd like to? Probably not. They're winless for 2024. McCluggage had 36. I don't know how much more we can say about that. Brisbane, like you said, not back, but moving at least.
We'll get a better indication on Thursday against the Demons at the G.
Oh, is that who they're playing? I feel like they've had a pretty hard start, Brisbane. Well, Fremantle, good. Carlton, good.
Collingwood,
good.
But if you're playing the grand final, your schedules tend to be a bit tougher.
Yeah, I know, but that's tough, Skeeter, I reckon. So we may get a bit of an uptick from them, but again, they match up against Melbourne coming up, so they could still be up against it there. Port Adelaide, 111, defeat Essendon Friday night, 42. This was the doubleheader on Friday, of course. Port Adelaide, impressive. Connor Rosie, look, if Isaac Heaney's leading the Brownlow, this man here wouldn't be far behind him. He is that much better as a footballer than anyone else on the field. If you just watch him live, which we were lucky enough to do, he is just...
That's the second game for you on the Friday?
No, we didn't go to the
early one.
First one.
Okay.
I was working, interviewing, and then actually hosted 6PR Friday Night Lights from Adelaide.
Wow.
Skate. Rosie is just, he's such a good footy player. Yeah. He just moves so much better than everyone else out there. So
is that the most inspired choice of captain?
It's
so young.
Yeah, because when it happened, I sort of thought, what's going on here? But clearly they know him. We don't, right?
Because we knew he was a player, and you just think, he's kicked 3. Willie's kicked 3.
Willie Rowley's he's my all-Australian pick. I'm early on him. Willie Rowley.
Already?
Yeah, Willie Rowley. I said it at the start of the year, before the year started. I just think he's going to have a massive year.
Okay.
Yeah, small forward, get him in the all-Australian team. Yeah, I'll speak to Jacko.
Yeah, we're 3 rounds in, four rounds in. That's okay. We're talking all-Australian already.
No, I'm just saying that I picked it before the season.
Okay.
Just a little bit of a ride or die. Is that all right?
No. How many tips did you get this weekend, by the way?
I got 8.
Yeah, did you? Good stuff.
Did you get 9?
I got 9. Look at you.
Look at you.
Mate, and to be honest with you, there was like two 50-50 games. It was Geelong Bulldogs and Carlton Fremantle were the two that stood out.
And who do you reckon I picked on the 50-50s? The wrong one of them, obviously. It was a big game for Port Adelaide. Look, Essendon for mine, they're 2-2.
Now, you've summed it up. You don't rate them yet,
and
for obvious reasons.
They're no good, mate.
They're not up to it. And they were gone from the hard edge of playing against Sydney to...
It's just fluff.
After quarter time, they kicked 3 goals.
They're no good, mate. They are absolutely no good unless something changes. And I don't know how you change something midway through the season, because it looks like work rate for mine. And, I mean, what's changed? That's been an issue at the footy club for a long time. So you would think under a new coach... Another year in the system, all the bullshit that came out in the preseason, that they'd be better, but they're not. So I won't be picking them for the rest of the year until I see something better, Skeeter. Happy with that?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark Reddings. 7 News. Cats 95, defeat Western Bulldogs 91. This was a good one. And I think in terms of matchups on the weekend, this is one criticism I do have from the AFL. I don't think they got their matchups right in terms of good games. You know what I mean? Not really any of the games jumped off. This is going to be a ripper. Carlton Fremantle was probably the only one. You know, man. Port Essendon, who cares? Sydney West Coast, who cares? Bulldogs Geelong, maybe.
But you're not going to put it this way. You're not going to put Carlton and Collingwood up against each other in Adelaide.
No. But like having Port Adelaide v Collingwood, like against a big side, that would make more sense, Skate.
And possibly.
They're probably playing each other.
Putting
like even the Adelaide teams up against a big Melbourne side would get like big interest.
And obviously you don't rate as a... They've got a big supporter base. No, I mean, but you're right,
good.
They're not
flying. Sorry, I mean good.
Yes.
Fair enough. So Cats get this one done. 4-0. They are undefeated, the
yeah,
Cats.
Yeah, I actually didn't rate them at all to play finals this year. I thought they might just slip completely off the radar, but they're unbeaten.
How'd your tips go this week?
Yeah, no, they were... Look, they just the curse on from the Cats to the Dogs continues. Stengel kicked 4. I really like the work of Cameron, of course. What are his numbers for that game?
They 3. Kicked 3, had 27.
That's pretty... decent for a bloke that...
I don't think they got their matchups right, the Doggies, and they may not have the cattle.
I was going to say, that I don't think they've got the defensive players to shut down those blokes. And there was some good money for the Dogs heading into the game, but and to be honest with you, if you look at the midfield, the two best players close to on the ground were Western Bulldogs players, Libber and Bond.
Yes.
And they still get rolled.
35-1 to both of them with 10 tackles apiece. And so... they don't have something quite right. What is it? Look, they're scoring. Maybe they're not defending well enough.
They're the enigma of the AFL for me in terms of teams. I'm trying to think. They've got, apart from their defensive concerns for me, their ability to shut down opposition. So, but I still think, gee, they look like they've got a team to be highly competitive. But you look on the ladder at the moment, they're 2-2, and they're that sort of team. It might just be that year where they just... you know, have...
again?
Yeah, I think so. Well, what do you think? They've got a top four written all over them?
No, absolutely not. No.
But do you think
they should.
But they're not going to fall outside the eight to a large degree because they've got too much talent.
Yeah, but I mean, they're in the eight, are they?
So they're eighth, 2-2.
Jeez, I haven't been too impressed by them, but they get done by Geelong, who you can't really say anything else, can you? They're on...
won another milestone game. I think it's Mark Blixarve's 250th at the weekend.
Yeah, so that's why you picked them?
I picked them because they're playing good footy. Okay. And you've told me 2 years ago about Geelong with milestones. And
do you want me to put this as a sting and you just play it out every time? Because you mention it every show. GWS 117 defeat Gold Coast. This was the... not the inaugural, but it was the invitational cup between these two between these two sides.
Oh, it was one day football, that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, was it shootout? I didn't see this one. Right. Yeah.
I'm just 31 goals in the game and
one day footy, that's good.
Toby Green kicks the 5. Jesse Hogan leads the Coleman. He kicked 4 at the weekend. He's on 16 for the year. I don't know if he's still on the darts or not, but he's doing some beautiful work. And he's loving his footy. He's almost, how do I describe this? He'd have to be close to the best resurrection story of a career in last 3 or 4 seasons. I mean, it's not just a flash in the pan. He's now playing good footy and clearly the best, I think, of his career.
Yeah, it's a great call. And GWS keep rolling, don't they? That's the 4th in a row against Gold Coast. Gold Coast are in the Essendon basket for mine. They have 3 debuts on, so they continue to try and get blood into players. Closey, I liked what he had to do out there, Skeeter. I thought he was quite impressive.
Clohessy?
I don't know.
We'll get a sound check on that. But
I was just wondering if the H is silent or not.
No,
you've pronounced it.
I'd go with Clohessy, but that's, again, I didn't hear his name called. But
Clohessy had 22 touches and kicked a goal. So I thought he was playing in the back line.
Ben King kicked 3, Roses a couple. And I did like Jeb Walter. He's, his background and he's had some injuries. But some of that young talent at the Gold Coast. And look, they lost the game, but I was actually happy. And I think you jumped off the Suns when they got rolled by the Bulldogs. So look, away from home. Yep. But I liked the fact that Damien Hardwick made the changes. He said that wasn't acceptable and said, nah, bugger, we're gonna search for a higher standard here. And I think long term that'll be a good move by the coach.
Yep, good shout, Skeeter. St Kilda 67 defeat Richmond 60. Watch this one. I thought it was a good game.
You thought it was a good game, did you?
Yeah, I actually liked it, yeah. You didn't,
mate, the second quarter, there were 2 goals kicked in the last minute.
I thought it was competitive. This is how Richmond plays this year, Skeeter. They're just playing St Kilda, so I don't know if...
yeah, maybe the second quarter just skewed me. I was calling the game. Maybe it was just the end of a long weekend. But
I mean, you're a test match sort of lover of cricket. So you said the last game was one-day cricket. This is more of a test match.
Yeah, I just didn't think the quality was there throughout. St Kilda, I think I heard Ross Lyon say something about being like aliens at Norwood Oval. Anyway, they were poor in the first half. They trailed by 22, and to be fair, my man, Shea Bolton, he was the difference between this. He kicked a couple of beautiful goals.
He could have kicked 8. He was passing ones off.
Dusty was good early, but you're right, Shea Bolton, terrific. But the question mark at halftime, I thought to myself, gee, they've kicked 1-5, St Kilda. Max King's radar was off. Richmond 5-3. but I just didn't know there was as much upside for the Tigers as it was for St Kilda, and so it proved to be.
I think to beat St Kilda, you've got to shut down their ball movement off half back. I think they look the most dangerous when they win that turnover.
Yep.
And guys like Wangane Malira, who's just got a beautiful kick on him, Jack Sinclair playing back there a little bit, and Bradley Hill, who I thought was very, very good. When they get their run going, that's when they look their best. When they look their worst, it's pressured, it's made up, that the talent and the skill level isn't there, and they can't get it into that ball movement. So I think if you can shut that down, which Richmond tried to, but honestly didn't do a very good job. Like, you know, Wangane Miller had 11 marks and 27 touches. I think if he does that, St Kilda are going to win most weeks.
Mm.
So... and Brad Hill, they used a lot as well. He had 27. So I think like those sort of guys, and they would have liked Liam Henry to be involved in that sort of action as well. So he's obviously out with the hammy tendon. But, you know, I think Richmond, okay, not great.
I think their best footy will be played at the MCG intermittently. Okay.
They're too young.
I think they're a bottom six side.
Who came out? One of the Richmond players came out and said they're in the window. Was it Nathan Broad?
Was Nathan Broad. Yeah, but you're not going to say...
What window? The premiership one.
Well, I think maybe I think finals.
Hang on.
But the window is in being, you know, competitive. He's not going to say, nah, the window's shut.
Yeah, you're right. Do you think someone asked him, are you in the window?
Are you, you know, how competitive can you be this year? He might say, look, I think the window's still open for us to be successful. If that, for them, success would be playing finals.
I think you can answer that without saying you're in the window. They're in the window, Skeeter. Come on, Skeeter. How big is the fucking window?
We all say things we regret.
Yeah, that's right, Skeeter. And do things we regret. Collingwood, 77 defeat Hawthorn. This is a cracker. Skeeter, it's not a high-scoring game, but you want the one-day footy or not?
I didn't see the last part of this game. I was working at Optus, but I do... recall thinking, well, its margin's about 4 or 5 goals. That'll be Collingwood being able just to keep them at arm's length.
This was great.
Good game of footy. Hawthorn, obviously, and Jack Ginnivan against his old club.
Hawthorn turned around at halftime, Skeet. They were 4 goals down at halftime and hadn't done a lot. And whatever was said, I think Sam Mitchell post-game spoke about it, that they changed some things. They dropped the tag on Nick Dacos. I think they became more attacking. And
suits them better.
It suits them better. And against Collingwood, I think it suits better. But you have to then holistically be very, very frantic to try to get the footy back. Because Collingwood, you just let them go. Similar to St Kilda, really. I think St Kilda's a little bit of a poor man's Collingwood, to be honest. But Collingwood's got better skills. If you just let them run and gun off half back, they slice you to pieces. They're too high quality. Whereas Hawthorn, yeah, they dropped that tag and they became more aggressive with the footy, more centralised ball movement. You know, it's met fire with fire. And they probably should have won in the end. They had the momentum. They kicked a goal late.
They kicked 4 goals, 1-5 behinds in the last quarter.
They had all the momentum, and another couple of minutes, they maybe get a chance to kick that goal. They just didn't get it in the end. But I was really impressed with Hawthorn. I think they'll be disappointed they lost. Jack Ginnivan, for what it was worth, was very good. He's having a good season. That's a good pick-up by Hawthorn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most clubs, if they had the chance to grab him, they would have. I mean, Hardwick kicks 4 for them, Moore 3. So they're relying on their sort of smaller forwards. But at the end of the day, though, we've got 4 clubs without a win, 0-4. I think that's the first time in VFL, I'll check with Swamp on that, VFL/AFL
really?
History, that's the case. I will stand corrected, but it's certainly a rarity that the 4 clubs, 0-4, which... but Hawthorn's a better team than that, as in that ratio of wins and losses.
I don't like putting things on the agenda, Skeeter, but I will with this one. I saw something late in this one that I don't know if anyone else will pick up, and it's just been a little bit of a bugbear of mine with this concussion rule, and I see things and I still don't think it's being maybe looked after correctly. Jeremy Howe tried to take a hanger late in this one and kneed Darcy Cameron in the back of the head.
Yep.
And Darcy Cameron was stumbling. He then held his head. It was a flush knee to his skull, right?
Hmm.
Within 30 seconds, he was bleeding from the nose, right? And so you get hit in the back of the head and then you're bleeding from the nose. Does that tell you that, like, perhaps that needs to be looked at pretty quickly? Like, for me, knee to head, bleeding from nose, that's related. He came off with the blood rule, but then was back. They put some Vaseline on him, sorted the blood out, and he was back on the ground within a minute and really impacted the last part of this game. I don't
know. Bad look, bad optics. Absolutely.
Bad optics, absolutely. But... you know, shouldn't we be, you know, looking and taking this one on more seriously? I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off the mark, Skeet. I don't know.
No, you're not. By the way, Collingwood, the last six games have been decided by a total margin of 24 points.
They're off their heads with the close games, aren't they?
And the Swamp Thing's just doing his best work on X with some of that stuff. And yeah, Collingwood, Carlton, they've just found ways to win where most clubs, well, Fremantle, for instance, on the weekend couldn't. That's a game that with 2 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes to go, albeit the controversy aside, you should be winning it.
Yep, very good, Skeeter. And Carlton have added that string to their bow. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. All right, a couple of listener questions, Skeeter. Now, a bit of a shout-out, our thoughts and prayers are with Maddie, who I believe has lost the house and the marriage after last week.
Who's he backing again?
He said, I asked my wife if I could sell the house and put the money on the Swans to get to the 53.5-point margin for West Coast this week. She said, no, should I do it anyway? Seems like free money. So, Maddie Black, we think of you, big fella. So, you've no house, no wife.
No, he hasn't gone the 53. Now, we did say gamble responsibly, though.
We did, absolutely. We didn't give him the advice, Skeeter. G'day, Skeet and Scully. Wild to see the Eagles be competitive. Harley will get the plaudits, and it was fun to see an Eagle breaking tackles for what it feels like the first time since 2018. But I hope it doesn't get missed that Tom Papley only had 10 touches and no goals, Skeet. Would love to hear your thoughts on how Hoff is going at filling the Brad Shepherd-shaped hole in the Eagles' back line.
Well, let's be honest. Brad Shepherd was an elite player for a long time.
It wasn't always the lockdown defender.
No. But look, if you go through some of the opponents he's had this year, Toby Green, Brady Hoff, big tick on that front.
Charlie Cameron,
massive tick on that front. I think he's beaten in one other one-on-one, I think a player kicked a few goals on him. But
played on Cody Waitman, I believe.
Cody Waitman, but that was still a reasonable. I think he kicked two goals, Cody. So, that's... I think he's found his spot.
Mate, I've said this a couple of times. If he buys into that role, right, and he's happy doing it, it's a bloody hard... Like, it's... The reason it's so hard is because mentally... You have one lapse, goal.
Yeah.
Right?
It's could not being an opening batsman, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
Most
other positions on the ground in AFL, it's not like cricket. You have a lapse in the midfield. You know, Tim Kelly, clearance. Is that a goal? They've still got the back line to look after them, you know, hopefully.
Yep.
But there's no multiple mistakes as in that role. So if he can buy into it and mentally do it, which it looks like he can, that's the hardest thing. The physical side of it's difficult, yes, but... Mentally, you just have to be concentrating at all times. And he'll be learning so many lessons playing on these great players. And maybe his game evolves from lockdown to, more of a ball-winning backman. I think he had over 25 touches a couple of weeks ago. But look, he could be my new sort of favourite guy at the Eagles.
I guarantee there'll be some people saying, you know, naming some of the young players that are emerging. Hoff will get left off that list. But it's because of the role he plays, and it's an unrewarding, it's a sacrificial role that he plays to try and keep small forwards at bay.
I would say who this is from, but it says...
You've got a stupid smile on your face.
Well, because I love what this says. So that question there, great question, I think, about Brady Hoff. Please don't announce my name because my boss listens and I'm considering chucking a sickie on the 18th and coming to see the Derby Show with you, Pav, JK and Skate.
So he obviously works at night.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure, but Skeeter, I would be doing the same thing, coming down to see us at the Leadable Hotel. Make sure you get your tickets to that one. You can jump on our social media, Backchat _, Shelter Footycast, that you can all get it all there, and backchatstudios.com.au for your tickets to the Derby and Backchat Ale release. Do you think the talks surrounding the current Eagles group from the media would be different if we actually won the remaining flags in our window, 2019 and 2020, Skeeter? Can relate it to Richmond as they are likely to bottom out like us in the next couple of years, but they actually got three flags. So if they become dog shit, they will experience the same. Will they experience the same scrutiny as us from Jordan? So I think Jordan's asking if West Coast in this era, if they put a couple of flags together, would the scrutiny and the whatever be as tough as it is right now? I can start on this one. I think so. I think the uncompetitiveness of the squad over the last 2 years. And to start the season, we haven't seen what we saw on the weekend for a long time. So I think regardless if you win three flags or not, one flag, three flags, is there much of a difference? Yeah, sure there is. It's bloody hard to win three flags. But I think still, you know, West Coast fans are able to go, well, at least we won in 2018. If they didn't win any at all, certainly the scrutiny would be a lot further.
Well, yeah. I think the change in the score would have happened a lot earlier as well. I mean, and let's be honest, Adam Simpson's job might have been under scrutiny a lot earlier.
If they don't win one at all.
That's what I'm saying. Correct. Yeah, a flag gives you a lot more currency.
But okay, but what about the question, which is what if they won three? Yeah, the rebuild wouldn't have started at all.
Well, that's absolutely the case. If you've got pretty much the same group and Tim Kelly comes in, you win flags. Mm. But I don't want to make it sound a defeatist attitude, but to win one flag from WA is fantastic. It is harder than winning from Victoria. Winning two, winning three, and you have to go back to the Brisbane Lions, who, you know, were outstanding in the Jonathan Brown era, Michael Voss. But to win one, look, the Eagles of the 90s couldn't do it. They won 92, 94. Mm. We know in that 205, 206 area, the Eagles could have won back-to-back, as it turns out. I think a fair result, they win one. Look, 18, outstanding. To win another one in that window would have been really tough. Bear in mind, look, there's lots of talk about priority picks. In brief, the Eagles played finals in 2020, just over three seasons ago. Mm. So all that has to be considered. Look, to win a hat-trick of flags, I don't think I'll ever see it in my lifetime, the Eagles or the Dockers win a hat-trick of flags. I mean, some will joke and say Fremantle winning one might be a stretch given their history, but I just think it's so hard to A, win a flag from here, and then you need luck, you need a lot of things go your way to win one.
Opportunity. Absolutely.
Let alone two or three.
We spoke to Brad Johnson over at Gather Row. We did some interviews over there with the Fox Footy guys. He's one of the greats, if not the top five greatest Western Bulldogs of all time. 364 games, never played in a grand final.
No.
So he doesn't get a chance.
And came super close, I think it was prelims. Against Adelaide.
Played a lot of prelims, and they don't get the chance. So, I know we've gone a little bit off track there, but,
To win a hat-trick of flags, the question's a good one. It's a hypothetical, and he's right. If you'd won three, for instance, of course the list would have been pretty much similar with, you know, the addition perhaps of a couple of players to help you through with Kelly, etc. But, whether that has that 18 flag just meant that some players weren't either traded or moved on, whatever, I'm not sure. That's for Adam Simpson to answer, not me.
All right, that's us done and dusted, Skeeter. Get going. Go and get your tickets for the Backchat Ale re-release, Leadable Hotel. Skeeter, Scully, Pav, JK, might even be a few other boys down there and some giveaways, Skeet. Go on, go buy them right now, Skeet.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait. Thursday footy. It's only 2 days away, 3 days away.
It's Monday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.